It's Monday morning on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Welcome back.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Everybody traveling a little bit. Hope you enjoyed some of our favorites from this inaugural year of the Coffee Hour. Shared a little over the second half of the week last week.
Getting close to our year anniversary. We're going to have cake or something that we can both eat.
All of our food allergies.
Fruit. Let's have grapes.
We both survived Thanksgiving with food allergies.
Yeah. That was exciting. It was really delicious. Well, mine was really delicious. I hope yours was.
Yes, it was. I had all my favorites. Nothing traditional for Thanksgiving. Lots of seafood. So
I still had poultry.
Yeah.
It was chicken. And I made cranberry sauce and it was delicious.
Me too.
Yeah. Cranberries and honey. It's so
I
easy.
Had no idea how easy homemade cranberry
it's
sauce
so
is.
Easy.
It's so funny. You know, all these years, especially when I was a bachelor, I thought that cranberry sauce was really hard to make.
It
apparently,
takes like 5 minutes.
It's super easy. You put cranberries, water, and some sugar in a pot, and you cook it till the cranberries, like you just boil it till the cranberries all pop.
It's so easy. And I grew up on the cranberry sauce in a can.
Yeah,
which
I
thought was fantastic.
And that's why I thought it was really hard to make, because, you know,
we just go buy it.
Well, it is Thanksgiving is over and Advent season is upon us. We just celebrated Sunday of the Fulfillment or Christ the King Sunday, Sunday of the Church Year, whatever you want to call it. There are three, four different names for it. Advent is upon us and we have some great Advent discussions ahead of us today. We're going to take a look at the collects for Advent and some ideas for families during Advent as we prepare. With Thanksgiving being earlier this year, I feel like we have some extra time to prepare for Advent. So it's like pre-Advent.
It's like this weird week that we have right now.
Yeah, some extra time. Last year it was so late. The Advent seemed short last year. So Advent on the menu today. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Kent Burrison. He is the Lewis A. Finke and Anna B. Shine Professor of Systematic Theology and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Burrison, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure, my pleasure. Hi, Andy. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
It is almost Advent. We've had our last Sunday, the church year, yesterday, and so now preparing for Advent. And we are looking at the collects of Advent. What is a collect?
Yeah, what is a collect? So as far as we can tell historically, you know, the church always prayed, of course. And the Roman Rite, which was the rite that was established in Rome in the 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries of the church's life, that rite had the practice of offering sort of terse, very focused prayers. And that's the tradition from which the collects grew. So these very short summary prayers, and that's probably where the term collect comes from, that is collecting together the prayers of the people in a very short summary kind of way, and that's what a collect did. So it took the prayers of the people and summarized them very briefly in accord with the readings that were being read in the service on Sunday. And these prayers developed in the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries. We don't have a collection of them, though, until in the West, at least in the Western Church, until we get to the 5th, 6th century.
And I remember learning when I was, I don't know, in grade school or something, that collects take on a specific form. There's kind of a form that they take when we pray them.
No, that's correct, Sarah. So they have traditionally five parts. They may have anywhere from three to five. Two of the elements get left out sometimes. But that traditional ordering is an address, usually to God the Father, occasionally to the Son, and that's the case with three of the Advent collects, and very rarely to the Holy Spirit. So you have an address. Then often you'll have a rationale. What's the basis upon which we're praying? What's the reason for our prayer? And then the petition, what we're actually praying for. Then a benefit, which would be what's the result of the thing that we're asking for? What kind of impact does it have? And then some kind of doxological conclusion. It can be the short form, which references Christ, or can be the longer form, which references all three persons of the Trinity.
So then what themes do we hear about in these collects for this season of Advent?
Yeah, so the Advent collects, I mentioned are unique because three of them, at least the ones that we have in Lutheran Service Book, which stretch back, all of them stretch back to the 5th through about the 8th, 9th centuries, are all addressed, except for the second one, the one for the second Sunday in Advent, are all addressed to the Son. And that conveys the thematic approach in terms of Advent. That is that we, in the first three Sundays, are focused on the coming of Christ, his return for judgment and to establish his eternal rule and reign. So all three of the collects, the first 3 weeks, focus on preparation for his second coming. And then the fourth collect, for the fourth Sunday in Advent, that collect turns to focusing on preparation for the nativity of Christ, although it's less strong in the fourth collect we have in our tradition, but it's turning toward that, and the basis for that, you know, the expectancy of Christ's first coming is the foundation for the hope for his second coming. So they all have an eschatological focus on expectancy for Christ's coming to judge and to establish his kingdom.
Did you say that these collects date back to 5th, 6th century?
Yes. So the collects for the first, third, and fourth Sundays in Advent all go back to the Galatian Sacramentary. And the Sacramentary was a collection of prayers, much akin to our altar book, if people are familiar with our mm-hmm. altar book. Mm-hmm. But much less complete. I mean, it would just be a listing of prayers in the Sacramentary. Without rubrics, without anything directing what's going on in the service, without other liturgical texts, just prayers. And those three collects go back to the Galatian Sacramentary, which was probably collected. It's a collection of prayers, so these prayers have been collected from other books and other sources. Either end of the fifth century, beginning of the sixth century, so 580 to about, we don't know when exactly to date it, but about 650, 580 to 650, somewhere in that range was when that collection was put together.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
To withstand the test of time, too.
Yes.
And to be joining with the church throughout history in praying these mm-hmm. prayers as
That's
well.
Correct.
Fascinating.
That's correct. Yeah.
There are some common words throughout three of the four collects. Stir up mm-hmm. your power. Mm-hmm. Stir up our hearts. Mm-hmm. What's with the stir up in these prayers?
Yeah, so another translation for that might be excite or enhance, but excite's probably a stronger word, stir up. So the emphasis there is that the church is a community that always lives in the expectancy of Christ's second coming and the expectancy that coming for judgment will usher us into his eternal kingdom because of Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. So stirring up is an image of getting us excited, literally, focused on his second coming. And that should always be sort of at the forefront of our hope, of our trust, of our orientation, that we are living toward the coming of his kingdom, his bringing his kingdom, and establishing the new heaven and the new earth that he has promised to us. And so it's trying to develop that kind of understanding, that kind of focus amongst Christians by using the language of get excited, stir up, Lord, come and do this for us so that we might know that you are the ruler of all things. You know, stir up our hearts, O Lord, that we may be rescued, for instance, in the first collect from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. Well, where will that deliverance and that salvation and that rescue come? It will come when he returns again at the end of time.
How do these collects tie in with the themes for each week that we get through in the season of Advent?
Yeah, so you can see that in relationship to the actual language of the collect and the nature of the readings, for example. So let's look at the second Sunday in Advent. That collect, which is the only one of the four that's addressed to the Father, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son. So the Lord reference there at the beginning of that collect is to the Father. that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. And so that ties into the readings for that Sunday. You have the reading from Luke's gospel, which is the promise of the forerunner, who is John the Baptist, of course. So you have this promise that the forerunner will come, and the forerunner is preparing the way for the Lord, for the coming of the Messiah. And so in this collect, you know, make ready the way. It echoes the language in Luke 3 and in the other Gospels for the coming of the forerunner, for the coming of John the Baptist. He is promised as the one who will make ready the way. So we're called in this collect. We're calling upon the Lord to stir up our hearts so that we may make ready the way of his only begotten Son, and that by his coming, we may be in his coming in word and sacrament, but then his coming at the end of time, that we may be enabled to serve him with pure minds. That is, that we may be rescued from our sins and cleansed and restored to fullness and wholeness of life in God's sight. So you can see how the language of the collect reflects the nature of the readings themselves. They're giving shape to the readings are giving shape to the language of the collect.
It's always the third Sunday in Advent that has to be different, a different color. It doesn't have the stirrup, and it's always the third Sunday. Why is it, we just have under a minute left, why is it good to pray in this way during Advent? You know, we mentioned earlier that these are prayers that the church has prayed throughout much history. Mm-hmm. Why is it good to pray in this way during Advent?
Well, I think it's especially important because it's easy in our modern world, particularly to lose, and this is true at any time throughout church history, to lose sight of the promise of Christ's return. And so these prayers, I think, more than a lot of other prayers, and that's not to dismiss the effect of the other prayers, the other collects in the tradition, but these prayers in particular really focus our hearts and our minds on that hope, and on looking toward Christ's second coming and keeping that all the way. And that's really basically the entire thematic nature of Advent, to keep our focus on the promise that Christ said he will come again, and he will take his church and his people, all those baptized into his name, into his kingdom. So they really focus our hearts and minds on that theme and living in light of that hope and that expectancy. And that's one of the reasons why they're a treasure of the church, and we should pray them. Certainly we should pray them throughout Advent, why they're very helpful, I think.
Dr. Kent Burdison, Professor of Systematic Theology and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning on the Coffee Hour.
Oh, my pleasure.
More Advent on the way. Pre-Advent preparation for Advent. I just came up with a great name for an Advent cookbook.
Oh, boy.
Stir Up.
There you
Isn't
go.
That a great name for
yes.
an Advent cookbook? You listen to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.